Hello, welcome to Geeky Girl Gab. I'm Candace, and with me is Brie,
Hello.
Vanessa,
Hey.
and Bucky the puppy. I don't know how much he's going to talk, but he does have opinions on one character on this
Woof.
episode. Where, oh, there we go. He's talking. We're talking about why Brooklyn Nine-Nine is the best TV series ever, period. Like, don't argue with us. We love the show. Like, it's insane.
You can argue if you want, but you're wrong. I'm just gonna say.
Exactly. So
Yeah,
Brooklyn
we will
Nine-Nine was
fight you.
canceled a few months ago by Fox. Fox, who kills everything I love, so I do not trust them. That's why I didn't start watching the show until like a year ago. But and then they betrayed me again. But NBC picked it up, which we love you, NBC. So guys, okay, let's just start. Why is Brooklyn Nine-Nine like the best series?
It's like a very refreshing change from most comedies that I've seen. First of all, it's one of the only shows that I can say that I can watch by myself and actually like laugh out loud. Because like I like, a lot of things. Like a lot of things are funny and all that, but a lot of times when I'm just like watching it by myself, it's just kind of like, oh haha, yeah, that's funny. And but this one I will actually just
Crack up,
almost
right?
crack up to the point of tears, even if I'm
Same.
watching it by myself.
So the interesting thing about Brooklyn Nine-Nine is it's a comedy that takes place in a police precinct, which, I mean, when you first hear that, like, you're like, what? Police? Funny, especially in this day and age, but they do an amazing job.
Yes, and it's I like that they don't use a lot of particular like tropes. That
Yes.
like we've had the episode about how we hate like all these tropes that keep coming up over and over again, and they have such originality in their characters and their character development, and they also don't stick to like the cliched things that a lot of shows stick to in order to keep you watching. For example, like the biggest thing for me is the fact that, and this is, I mean, this is kind of spoiler alert, whatever, but Jake and Amy's relationship is one of the best ones that I've ever seen, and especially because they don't put any like drama into it. Like there is a little bit obviously when they're like getting together and that makes it, cute and interesting and all that, but they don't have this whole thing of like will they, won't they, will they, won't they, which to me is overdone so hardcore. And they can still be, and even though they don't have stuff like that, they're still able to draw you in every single episode because they're just funny and fresh and original.
Yeah, they don't like break up, get back together, break up,
Yeah.
all that dramatic stuff, like a lot of series do. So, like the main character is Jake Peralta. He's played by Andy Samberg
He's
from
amazing.
SNL. Yeah.
Well, not
He
from
originally.
SNL. He had Lonely Island, first of all. Can we
Okay.
just say
But
that?
when he left SNL, he originally didn't want to do a TV series because he's like, I've been on TV. But then he read the script for Brooklyn Nine-Nine and he was like, I got to do this. I was like, yes, Andy, smart move. Great move. He's got a Golden Globe because of it.
The writing is really, it's just amazing. Like I can't put into words like how good this comedy show is. I will have to say though, Candace, police and funny, Reno 911
I mean,
was.
it is done a lot, but I
But
mean, that's like kind of parody almost,
well,
or hype.
this one
Wasn't
is
parody, I
too.
guess.
It's a mix of like, The Office, kind of.
I mean, Reno 911 was like insane, like
I know, but I'm
extreme. You
just
know what I
saying,
mean?
police shows can be funny.
Okay, yeah.
But what is great, like how you love Jake and Amy's relationship. I love Jake and Boyle's relationship. Boyle is so great. He's just refreshing. He likes different things, He's not a typical quote unquote like guy character that I've really ever seen on TV before.
But he's still like, he's straight. He's like, but into other things. And
Yeah.
they say like, he's not your like average detective, but like what they say is he just works harder than everyone else. So he's still a great detective. Like he isn't as smart as Jake, but he just works hard. But he likes cooking, he likes art, he likes musicals, he
Yes, which is
loves dogs.
great.
Yes.
I mean, I also love that like in this last season they really they also with Stephanie Beatriz's character, Rosa, they explored the whole like LGBT thing. I think that she isn't she herself bisexual? I'm not positive if that's true. true or not. I thought I heard that, but I'm sorry if that's incorrect. But either way, I just love that they did delve into that and they're not afraid to like to have that be part of the show and part of the culture.
And that was like the best, like most realistic, like bisexual, like coming out and also mm-hmm. like character that I've seen. Like you don't actually mm-hmm. see that many bi people in a network show.
And, no, not at all.
Yeah, I can't even think of one. You know, like I remember like the what was it, Sex and the City episode where she's dating a bisexual guy and it's mm-hmm. made such a big deal of like, oh, there's two kinds of people he can cheat on me with.
Yeah.
And which I hate that because it's really not showing it's a like fear of being like I was working in an office and like some girls are saying how they would never date bi guys and I was like, why? What do you have against bi guys? And they're like, well, it's just weird. But like I feel like, you know, what Brooklyn Nine-Nine is doing is showing it in a good light and a positive mm-hmm. light and going, hey, they're just people too. It's not like, it's not weird or anything. They're just human. And they like,
and that's the thing about Captain Holt too, is he's a gay captain with a husband, everything like that. But his gayness does not define him as a human being, just like anyone's straightness doesn't define a person.
Actually, what's really hilarious is they play that so well that I keep forgetting he's gay. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't think about him as a sexual human being because he's like this father figure and also the boss, and you don't really think about.
They go back into like the whole like, you know, the past where it was like not, you know, obviously like it was a taboo and all that kind of stuff. But like honestly, I was thinking like, oh yeah, well, you know, Rose's character comes out as bisexual and that's so cool and like all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that's right. He's gay and he's been on there since the beginning and we've known that since the beginning.
It's really refreshing because they're not afraid. And like Terry Crews, who plays Terry, amazing father figure. A guy who loves his yogurt, who's strong, but
Terry loves yogurt.
I mean, they show him, he's a strong guy who's also sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not works afraid out, to he go does there. Stuff, but yeah. He loves his wife. He loves his three girls.
Yes.
He cries.
But they're not afraid to show that vulnerability that he has. And I think that's so nice. I mean, it's
yeah,
so
and
nice.
It doesn't make him any less masculine. It actually makes him more masculine. And Terry Crews, exactly. You are amazing. And we love you.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Oh, he's the best.
I know. He's amazing.
I also love that, like, they all kind of, like, you know, play on each other's, you know, like, either eccentricities or vulnerabilities or whatever. But like, you know, for example, Amy is this like type A, like very organized person, and they're all, you know, they all kind of make fun of her for it. But at the same time, it's like they really respect her as well. You know, it's like it's you can tell that it's a very familial type atmosphere and that they are making fun of her. But at the end of the day, they know that she's an amazing person. And it's just like a jabbing thing that friends do for each other. And I like that everybody's able to have those kind of eccentricities. And I'm sure I'm saying that word incredibly wrong right now. But, you know, but everybody at the end of the day just like loves everybody for who they are.
It's really like a found family. Like everyone is very close and they love each other. And guys, Gina Linetti.
Mm-hmm.
Gina.
And it's so funny because like, she's, you know, she plays this like tough kind of exterior where she just like pretends like she doesn't care about anything. And then like, you obviously know that she is just kind of holding everything together.
Openings of the show, like this, what are they called?
I don't know what they're called.
The cold open.
Yeah, the cold opens. Every cold open is like a minute or two long and they're amazing and hilarious. And it has nothing to do with the rest of the episode. It's just
most cold opens don't.
I've laughed so many times.
The Backstreet Boys one.
Yes. Where he's having a lineup sing and he's like getting really into it. She's like, that's the man who killed my brother. He's like, oh yeah, this is about murder.
I know. It's probably one of like the best cold opens for any show. I mean, I can't think of one that beats it.
And if you guys haven't seen the trailer for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, go out and watch it right now for the new season. It's amazing and epic. And it kind of gets down to like really what, you know, the base of how this show is and the kind of humor it plays out.
The Halloween Heist episodes.
Ah, I love the Halloween heist.
Every year, they're all about showing who is the world's best detective or smartest human being. And they're just so creative and intricate. Each year, they amp it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love that that's one of those things that you can just count on every single year, because you feel like you're part of the show that way, because you're just like, okay, Halloween, it's time for Halloween heist. Like,
yeah. And the characters take it so seriously, insane how much time and money they put into it.
Yeah, like I can't imagine what they're going to do this next year with that.
Yeah, especially if this might be their last season, I feel like they might go all out.
Wait, what?
It can't be their last season.
NBC they have to go just on picked forever. Them up.
I feel like this might be their last season.
Okay, everybody write letters, start writing letters, emails, everything, telling them that they can never leave. They have created a show too perfect.
They really have. I mean, I can't name one thing wrong with it. Unless it's canceled, then that would be the one thing wrong with it.
I just think, yeah, it's original in both story and characters. And it, you know, it's one of those things that also is like, you know, we were actually just kind of talking about, you know, amongst ourselves, like the binge worthy things that we have, and the fact that because we have like the streaming service, it's, you know, like this long story that can kind of be told and unfold over time instead of just like, you know, one-to-one episodes. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine kind of does have that feel of like you could jump in at just a singular episode and still be okay with that. And yeah. It's also binge-worthy. Like somehow they have made it possible to like exist on all these different kinds of planes.
That's kind of how I got into the show, is my sister was watching it and I'm like, oh, what is this? And I don't even remember what episode it was, but then I was like, must watch. Why haven't I been watching this the entire time?
I will have to say, because I'm like you, Candace, where I didn't really watch it on Fox. I was watching, I don't know how I found it, like, you know, like those clips on Facebook, and I just was kind of scrolling and I was like, what is this and why haven't I seen it? And then I started to binge watch it on Hulu, a sitcom, but it also has some elements that, you know, are reoccurring, like Jake and
the Pontiac Bandit.
Thank you. That's who I was thinking of.
Judy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets brought up so many times, and then it's like, oh, I love the time.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that like the balance that they have struck with all of this is so amazing, because like there are like treats like that pop up every once in a while. So like if you do watch the show, it's really entertaining, but you also don't have to like watch it, you know, sequentially, you know, if you don't have the time or whatever. And you can still like have fun watching the episode. And the binge-worthy factor is the fact that it's just hilarious and you keep wanting more and more of it.
Yeah. But if you watch it in order, you do see character development, which is amazing.
For sure. Yes. For sure, yes.
To see in any comedy. Mm-hmm. You see these characters grow. You see people fall in love, fall out of love kind of thing.
Yeah, and they don't become, most importantly, they don't become caricatures of themselves. Like what happens so much in comedy. Like they actually do have character development. They do continue to grow. Just like the whole, like, you know, Amy and Jake relationship, every character has this, just like the capacity to grow and to not just be the stale character who constantly is finding themselves in the same like terrible situation because of a character flaw or whatever. Like they're moving forward and developing and still having this amazing dynamic with everything.
Yeah, because like Jake is a bit of a man child at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he still jokes around and he still has fun and he still needs to brush his teeth more and, you know,
yeah.
of things and be cleaner, but he does mature a lot and becomes a better person. Just like everyone has a different relationship with everyone else, and each of those relationships are meaningful too.
Yes,
if you think about it, like the Holt and Jake relationship is like my favorite. His dad wasn't around, and Holt is like his dad.
Yeah.
The dad he never had.
I know. And when Holt says he's proud of him and he starts about to cry, oh my God, I'm crying too, Jake.
And talk about amazing, like, I forget the guy who plays Holt, but he's like, he's just the perfect, Andre. Like, yeah, like, oh yeah, Andre Brower. Mm-hmm. He's the, like, the perfect, like, just straight man, because, like, he is just, I don't know how, it's so difficult. I don't know if anybody has ever tried to do that in comedy, but it is so difficult to do. And like, he's so funny being this character and so good at it and can play into it so well. And that's difficult to do.
It is. And like, I like the little gems that they give him sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
What I'm thinking of, the first moment, I think this is the first moment we kind of saw it in the show, where Amy is running late and they're all betting.
Oh, yeah. Like, what? Like, she's like 2 minutes late.
She's 70 seconds late, if I'm correct.
Yeah. And they're like, she's like, dead.
Terry guesses the alarm. Jake guesses that, like, she fell into an underground sewer and had sex with a mole man. And, like, like, there's a problem at the bank. And when she runs in and then he gets it right, I mean, you just get that glimpse of like him, yes, and like letting loose. And like, it's a perfect balance between having that, you know, quote unquote straight man in comedy, but then allowing him to have these like moments of freedom. And I think it's just so fun. You're right. He just plays it so well.
Yes. And he's hilarious, like, despite just the fact that he has like one of the least, you know, like, I guess like rambunctious personalities, I guess you could say.
Even though he does have some traits like his gambling and his like passion for certain things, and he's apparently hilarious to his husband and his husband's like professor friend.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is that like, he's an insanely interesting character. Like, he's very so much depth, and that's what makes it such a good mix. And he does it so well. He plays all of these levels so well.
Yeah, and plus his voice is just amazing.
Yes.
I'm like, please tell me he's done an audiobook or something so I can listen to him all day.
Please, that would be amazing. While I do love Halt, I think another one that's very like almost straight laced is Rosa. While she's like an out there character, it's still, she's very serious most of the time. So
she's very violent.
Yeah.
Well, of course you would comment on the violence. One of the moments I love seeing, like, just Rosa break out of her norm is when Gina had to feed that story about, like, her friend, the guy, in order for Rosa to get information. So she's, like, playing the Jersey girl.
Yes.
Well, they're all, like, it's really funny, like, how all the characters are very, sometimes they can be unsure of themselves and be silly and stuff like that, but when they're working and they go undercover, they are like legit.
They're insanely dedicated.
So like, Rosa is trying to get information from this hairstylist about a mobster, and what happens, Bree?
Well, at the end, she's like, you know, oh, how about you dye my hair blonde? You know, and that, like, unsure, but, like, I have to do this type of way. And then she has a really awful blonde.
Yeah, that's dedication. Job.
That is. I mean, she got what she wanted, though. So
yeah, she got the info.
But it's just fun. I mean, that was a great fun moment to see Rosa have, because she is dedicated to her job and she made it work.
One thing is Cheddar Holt and his dog is this adorable corgi, and he just like randomly shows up like in episodes. And there's a whole episode where Jake, Amy, and Boyle are supposed to be watching Cheddar, but Cheddar gets out.
That's right.
And they're like, this bastard's been out for like this far. We gotta catch this guy. And you just see this happy little corgi walking down the street. I'm doing like a manhunt. It's like, his name is Cheddar. He's 35 pounds.
I think that like is a pretty good summation of why it's so amazing. And I would be interested to know, like, to continue this conversation, if anybody has like any insight into what you think makes it such a unique show, that would be great. And also, I guess if you don't like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I seriously would want to know why. I mean, okay, we will try not to attack you, I swear.
Andy Samberg like insulted their mother once, and you know, like, personally, I don't know. I don't think he would do that. He seems like a nice guy.
There are two sides to everything.
Sure, exactly. We don't know what happened between you and
There's always people. Yeah, there's always people who have their own opinion. So, like, I mean, I really would be interested to know exactly why that is. But anyway, if you haven't watched it, definitely take the time to. It premieres. The new season premieres this Thursday, January 10th. And if you haven't watched it yet, take the time to go on to. It's on Hulu, right?
Yes, yeah, and you can get a free month trial if you don't have Hulu. So,
yes, and definitely try it. Definitely watch it on Hulu.
Just take you a weekend to get through it.
Yes, once you start watching, you will not want to stop. And once again, if you have watched it and have not seen the trailer for the new season, go and watch it on YouTube.
ASAP right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting.
title of your sex tape.
Should we live tweet the premiere?
Yeah, yes. I'll have to go to my parents' house because I don't have cable.
No, we definitely will. The three of us will be on at Geeky Girl Gab on Twitter, and we will all three be live tweeting. So tune in for that because we're slightly hilarious at times.
Not as hilarious as the show, but still.
No, nothing's as hilarious as the show. Okay, well, that's it for this episode of Geeky Girl Gab. I'm Candace.
I'm Bree.
I'm Vanessa.
Stay geeky.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.